Great. So I'm going to talk to you about the reading that we just heard read so well from the first letter. The first letter of Peter. I'm afraid our younger theologian has probably already got out of me what it is that I was intending to say to you, but that's okay. It's okay to say parts of it again. I don't know if any of you remember the movie The Killing Fields. Do people remember that? Yeah. It was a movie from, I think it was from the 1980s, if I'm not mistaken. It won an Academy Award because I remember the guy whose story that it was based on was standing up on the stage. Not that I watch the Academy Awards very much anymore, but I watched that. It was standing up on the stage and talked about how this had been his life and how he thanked God for bringing him to this point. He said, God, Buddha, is how he said it. He's a Cambodian Buddhist, but he used the word God. If you remember the story, it is set, real story, set after the fall of Cambodia to the Khmer Rouge. Do people remember that part of history, the Khmer Rouge? So the Khmer Rouge were devout, to put it that way, devout Maoist communists, and what they wanted to accomplish was the building of a perfect society. It was a movement, you kind of think of it probably that way of thinking really began with the French Revolution, where the motto was burn it all down, right? Burn it all down and start from the beginning. And so in Cambodia, the way that they decided to burn it all down was to remove from their Maoist communist rule any Western and capitalist influences. If you remember the story, anyone who had glasses, anyone who spoke French, because the French had been the colonial power there, anyone who had any education, anyone who had the wrong class, would be eliminated because they would be a hindrance to building the perfect utopian workers, state of workers and peasants. So that such people who were impure and could cause corruption to the state were 1 million people, if you remember that. 1 million people. And Cambodia was not that large a country. This is, of course, not the first time that in the 20th century, especially, that we have had people trying to achieve utopia, right? National socialists in Germany were trying to achieve their own kind of utopia. Fascists in Italy were trying to achieve their own kind of utopia. As we know, the Russians, the communists in the Bolsheviks in Russia, the Maoists in China, again, the Khmer Rouge, in Cambodia, the Shining Path in Peru. We can go on and on again to see people whose desire was to bring in a utopian society. That is a glorious, new, perfect, perfectly just society in which you first had to burn it all down, right? And in a way, not for all the movements I'm going to mention in a minute, but for a lot of those movements, they start on a basic conviction that, don't want to start quoting philosophers here, but philosopher Nietzsche said, and that is, God is dead. We killed him. It's not that God doesn't exist, it's that we killed him. And now that we have killed him, we have the power to create ourselves as we imagine ourselves that we want to be. Perfect, powerful beings. And of course, you're talking about all the movements, they all hated Christianity. They hated Christianity because it bred weakness, it bred compassion, and they hated the Jews, they hated the Jews because it was a basis for Christianity, created weakness, and therefore prevented the creation of the perfect society that they had imagined. So first Peter uses military language. Interesting. If you notice the word, and I believe it would be found in this translation as well, it says that he guards, there's the military language, and that is the Lord guards us. It's the idea of a soldier representing the army guarding someone. Well, okay, that's strong language. Soldier standing in front of something, what's he guarding? He is guarding God's faithfulness to us. He's not attacking anybody. He's not aggressively asserting something. He's not violently trying to bring in the kingdom of God. If you remember Jesus saying, from the beginning, people have tried to take over the kingdom of God and done it with violence. Not doing that. He is simply guarding. The other thing that Peter says is that, very interesting words here, I won't go through all of them, but he says, God has given us a living hope. So the kind of hope that I'm talking about, that you would think that this blood-soaked 20th century that lived on, was this kind of a hope. Life, God is dead. We killed him. But in the face of the meaninglessness of life, we are going to courageously say yes. Do not, as Dylan Thomas says, do not go gentle into that good night. Rage against the dying of the light, right? It's kind of that mentality. You know, it's like, oh, the darkness is coming, nothing means anything. But as Nietzsche says, the Superman, the man that's going to be created out of meaninglessness, shall become the meaning of the earth, which means everything is now about power. You can see the connection there. Nothing means anything. We're going to make it mean anything. And the only way to do that is with power. And we are going to, out of our own power, create a perfect society. Great. As Lenin said, you can't make an omelet without breaking a few eggs, right? As George Orwell said to him, I'd sure like to see the omelet. No omelet. There's no omelet. Just a bunch of eggs. Just a bunch of broken eggs. Thousands and millions of people killed. But this perfect society that you keep promising, well, soon. It'll come soon. You know, after the next revolution or something, it'll come soon. And it never comes. So, as I was saying to the kids, our actions, the actions of our military, and there may be the odd exception that you can think of, from the very beginning, and I say someone whose ancestors came from the United States, even back to the War of 1812, what we have consistently tried to do is to say, when people have said, we have this fantastic new idea that's going to transform the world, we just have to burn everything down first. And our answer, that is in Canada, with our military, and people willing to give their lives, has always been, no, we're going to draw the line here on your madness. Of that in the First World War, which had its own particular kind of madness we won't go into. Certainly in the Second World War, we were fighting a different kind of madness. Korean War, again. Here, Korea is a pretty perfect society. They really managed to build it there, right? Another example. Or later on in Afghanistan, where there were attempts to build a perfect society. again and again, we have not gone in acting as the aggressors. What we've done is to try and build a wall against madness coming in, the kind of madness that says we can build, like the Nazis, the fascists, the communists, we can build a perfect society. Going, that's not what St. Peter says. St. Peter says, we have salvation stored up in heaven for you that God will reveal at the right time. Not something you're going to build yourselves through mass murder, but something that God is going to reveal to us from his great mercy and goodness, and is going to appear perhaps suddenly. And so in the meantime, what do we do? As I said to the kids, what was the role of those soldiers anyway? It was something quite unremarkable when you think about it. These people who gave their lives, they didn't die to build a perfect society, a better society, of course. More just, can always be more just. Not a perfect society, because of the fact that, what do Christians know about that? No such thing, right? Why is that? Because of us, right? Original sin. We're not capable of doing it. But they fought to create a society in which people, free of having burned it all down, could, as St. Paul says, live quiet lives. Live quiet lives. So, are we just sitting here going, well, thank God the Nazis didn't win, and we're just going to live quiet lives? I guess that's going to involve lying on the couch a lot or something. No, St. Peter says, you have been given a living hope. So it's not the kind of hope that says, life is meaningless, but I will make it meaningful. That's not hope. That is anger in the face of despair. A living hope, St. Peter says, participates in the nature of God himself. That God has given us a hope which is not just in the future, but which we participate in now. You know what it's like, right? You feel hopeful, even though you know things are kind of bad, and you sense that God is filling you with that hope. St. Peter says, that is of the nature of God himself, that he is sharing with you. So while we live quiet lives, we're filled with a living hope. We participate in God's nature as we await for him to reveal himself finally at the end, how does Jesus put it? At the renewal of all things. So today we celebrate that we have the freedom, that we've been freed from the madness of utopias, that we've been allowed to live quiet lives so that we can live out a living hope and participate in that treasure that God has kept for us in heaven, which will in the end, not like these other utopias, but as the true utopia, be revealed in God's good time. Amen.